Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and certainly for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of Dr. Mayor Eisenstein, and we're going to be talking about vaccination. It was really fascinating reading the New York Times today. Why, there was an article in there about doctors and increasingly telling their patients, if you don't want to be vaccinated, find yourself another doctor. You're going to get vaccinated. Yeah, we don't want you sitting in the waiting room there, not vaccinated, contaminating the other people. If you're not going to do what I say, find yourself another doctor. And, of course, I actually have posted on my website a form that we suggest that you get your doctor to sign. And the form just says simply, I know some people are concerned about vaccines. I've studied the full effectiveness and benefits and risks of this vaccine. And so I accept full responsibility for any damage that could be done to so-and-so from this shot, and I'm fully responsible. I know that the vaccine manufacturers can't be sued, the distributors can't be sued, so I accept full responsibility, and there's a place for a witness to sign it, and I've just suggested that you take that to your doctor, ask him to sign it, and if he won't sign it, ask him why not. I mean, he's telling you it's perfectly safe, and then simply point out to him that the children who do not get vaccinated seldom, if ever, get autism. Why is he pushing something? Has he ever really listened to the other side? And if he hasn't heard my talk on the specter haunting America, why, it's well worthwhile getting. You can see it on my website, or hopefully you'll want to get one of them from us, but you can watch it for nothing on the website, The Specter Haunting America. Dr. Eisenstein, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Oh, it's my pleasure, my absolute pleasure.
Why don't you, because I was just simply talking about the fact that there's apparently growing pressure among doctors to try to force their patients, intimidate them, threaten them if they won't get vaccinated. In fact, I really think that those people such as you and as myself who are trying to get the word out on the danger of vaccinations are being successful, and more people are just refusing to go along with the medical establishment. You get that idea?
Oh, I think you're totally right. Just take a look at the headlines today in the Wall Street Journal in their health section. More doctors fire vaccine refusers. Families who reject inoculations told to find a new physician.
Right.
That's fabulous. I could use some more business. I have no problem. That's great. I thank them. I'd like to send a thank you card to all these doctors. But, you know, I think you're right. Your work and so many of the other doctors who try to bring science to the field of medicine are intimidating doctors who have believed with all their heart that giving drugs is the right thing, doing surgery is the right thing all the time, giving vaccines is the right thing. And all of a sudden we're questioning their gospel. they're nervous.
Well, I mean, there are certain things that doctors can do, surgeons can do. They're wonderful. I was a surgeon for many years. I loved it, and most of the patients got better, and I think, but certainly some of the things that doctors do, they've just never been told that there is any other way to approach this other than to give a shot. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Mayor Eisenstein and get into the background of vaccination. Dr. Eisenstein, why don't you pick up the story and just tell our listeners why you, certainly, certainly are not fully in support of that.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
The growing concern among the medical establishment that people are going to stop believing physicians. And the thing is that most doctors are doing the best that they can. Most doctors want to help their patients. I've met very, very few doctors. I haven't met a few, but I've met very few who wanted to harm their patients. And yet, of course, so much of what is being done by organized medicine is harmful to patients, not the surgeries. You need emergency care. You need something when you need a heart operation. Why you need that heart operation? You might debate a little bit whether you need a quadruple bypass with the new aortic valve, but I didn't quibble when they put that in me, and I was certainly totally rejuvenated to the point where I could barely walk when I went into the hospital, and a few weeks later I was able to walk almost without restriction. But Dr. Einstein, please go ahead and tell us what's wrong with vaccinations, and how can we convince people there in the audience that vaccinations as a whole have done far more harm than good when they show us how the rate of disease is falling so dramatically, and of course the fact that people are not dying of diphtheria and tetanus and whooping cough as they have in the past. How can we convince patients, how can we convince good doctors that the change in the statistics have nothing to do with the vaccination process, or very little to do with it?
Well, I think that doctors have to look at what caused tuberculosis to die out. what caused cholera to dry out, what caused plague to grow out. And the reason I mentioned these diseases is because there are no vaccines that are given. There is a vaccine for tuberculosis, but it's not being given in this country. And when you take a look at the graphs from the public health department, from the Center for Disease Control, you see that the disappearance of these diseases follow a similar pattern, a similar trend to the ones that they gave vaccines. But even more impressive is that when they introduced the vaccine to the diseases you mentioned, like diphtheria, tetanus, there was no change in the curve. It continued at the same rate as it was disappearing before. You know, and so this doesn't 100% make the case against vaccines, but it's surely something that has to be taken into great consideration. And then you've got another thing. One of the things they try to scare you with, the two things they scare you with is the great flu epidemic of 1918 and the polio epidemic of the 1950s. These are the two things that the pharmaceutical industry has used as their hook to convince people that all vaccines are valuable. It's the only thing you can do. You would die if you didn't have them. And if we go back to 1976, with the swine flu alleged epidemic, and they did the same thing they did in 2009. They scared the public that if you weren't going to take the swine flu vaccine, this was under President Gerald Ford, that you would die in the street. They bought thousands of body bags for people who would die. The program lasted all of 3 weeks because they found that they were now giving flu vaccine at designated government centers. And what happened was hundreds of people died at those centers very shortly after receiving the vaccine. So they called the whole program off. I found that very interesting. You know, in fact, when I asked Dr. Mendelsohn, who was working with me, I was working with him in 1976, and I asked him, what advice do you have for my patients, because they were trying to make it mandatory. He said, line up in the back of the line, and hopefully they run out of vaccine before you get to the front of the line. But I can tell you what in 2009, Dr. Stan, what was most impressive, 80% of Americans decided not to get the H1N1 vaccine, even though we had the same type of propaganda, how dangerous it was. And I've interviewed hundreds of individuals, of people, and said, why didn't you believe that it was dangerous? It was being given away free. So it wasn't as if anyone had cost them anything. And they said, we just didn't believe them. It didn't make any sense. And interesting enough, you know, the statistics show that there was less death in 1976 and less death in 2009 from flu than any of the last 30 years. Is it possible that the flu vaccine actually affects somehow your immune system and makes you more susceptible to develop the flu and die from its consequences? You know, so it's kind of an interesting thing that the public is the one who's taking the lead. You know, somehow they no longer believe what they're being told.
Well, all I can say is I'm just so very, very thankful for that. Of course, the polio vaccine, as an orthopedic surgeon, I always trained in the era when, of course, we did have these terrible problems with polio, and this was a terrible disease. And I think that the vaccine really did stop the polio from recurring. But the problem was there was a cancer virus in the polio vaccine. They knew there was a cancer virus there. They gave it anyway. Today, a third of the world's population carries that cancer virus, and cancer has exploded. Had they stopped giving the vaccine when they knew the cancer virus was there, we could have said it was a mistake. When they continued to give the vaccine to use up the supplies, knowing full well it was going to lead to cancer, at that point, you realize, of course, that they were not concerned about polio. They wanted, of course, to disseminate this cancer virus. And today, a third of people have the infection. And, of course, the mothers give it to their children. and those children give it to their children, and we have an explosion of the incidence of cancer. And they never talk about that. I'm sure you're well aware of the virus and the vaccine.
Oh, I'm very well aware of it, you know, and I can tell you something, that the virus is called SV40. It stands for simian virus 40, and it was a contaminant found in the swine flu vaccine and in the polio vaccine. And it came because the original polio vaccine was grown on the kidney of the African green monkey. In the 1950s, when this vaccine was developed, we were under the impression that viruses from monkeys and animals couldn't cross over to humans. So they weren't worried about growing it on the kidney of the African green monkey. But even more interesting to understand, you know, I just assumed they labeled the virus SV40. I couldn't figure out, I never even thought of why they named it 40. That's because they had isolated 39 other viruses that were contaminating the polio vaccine, but the 40th one was one that caused cancer, just like you so well said. And so that's even more frightening, because we're not sure what the other 39 did. You know, and so it may be, let's even make the assumption that the polio vaccine worked. And it's very questionable, the same thing. But let's even assume that it worked. You know, now, just like you said so well, what damage have we done? And is the overall effect going to be that thousands and thousands of people are going to die from the vaccine, much even worse than the disease, which was dying out by itself also?
Well, Sidney, there's so much to the story of vaccinations, and each one has problems with it. But, of course, certainly one of my favorite ones is hepatitis B. Would you like to talk a little bit about what's wrong with the hepatitis B vaccine? After all, Sidney, why we just don't see much hepatitis B in most people in America, unless, of course, they're into IV drug use or homosexuals. Isn't that a sign that the vaccine is working?
Well, you know, I tell you where the problem comes also. You know, the problem in my mind comes that from a philosophical standpoint, that they've mandated the vaccine. You know, and that bothers me. You can assume it works. Let's just assume it works, the hepatitis B. And now they've mandated everyone. And this is not a disease that spread from coming in casual contact with someone, kind of like polio or whooping cough or diphtheria, which could be transmitted unwillingly. This is a sexually transmitted disease. And now we've got government interfering into the way we raise our families, the way we raise our children. And they're kind of mixing the issues and pretending that it's no different than a whooping cough vaccine or a polio vaccine as far as the transmission goes. They've even gone to the length as to pretend that you can catch it from a musical instrument that wasn't wiped off clean. This is not. This is a sexually transmitted disease. That's the political correctness of our country. You know, but aside from that, the vaccine itself carries lots of toxic ingredients. You know, in fact, it's very interesting that when the hepatitis B vaccine came out, one of the thoughts was the cause of AIDS in the country, the world, was from contaminated viruses in the hepatitis B vaccine. You know, it turned out it may not have been that, but we're still not 100% sure. And so, you know, we got all these problems, from morality issues to mandates for sexually transmitted disease. It just makes no sense.
Well, the problem is, of course, there's something called molecular mimicking. And, of course, what you do with this is simply one molecule that they use. But, of course, the molecule that they use is very, very similar to the molecule in your myelin sheath that lines your nerves. And so you develop an allergy, a response to the virus, but also to your own nervous system, and you get multiple sclerosis.
Exactly. You know, these are very, very frightening things, you know. You know, it's poorly researched, you know, and...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Dunbar, one of the world's leading vaccinologists, who actually had spoken out against the hepatitis B vaccine, had her life threatened, and she personally told me she was moving to Africa, and actually they moved over there, and they bought the farm where in Kenya, where the movie Out of Africa was shot. These are not nice people, but you're talking about billions of dollars in profit. Now, I believe in profits, and so does Dr. Einstein, but when, of course, they threaten people's lives to silence them from speaking out and pointing out the fact that in children, say children who come from Mennonite communities or Amish communities who do not take the childhood vaccines almost never get autism and never get, very, very seldom get the severe asthma and the other autoimmune and allergic reactions. Comparing the groups that take them and don't, the risk-benefit is all against the vaccines if that information is suppressed. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And if you have a question for Dr. Einstein, he has written extensively on this. You can get his articles on the website. How can people get your website, get your information?
They can go to homefirst.com. That's HOMEFIRST.com. You know, they can. I have a whole section on vaccines. You know, they can call us. We have a 800 number, 866-395-1881. I'm more than happy to try to help. Spend a lot of time. I'm also an attorney. I went to law school about 15 years ago, and I'm actively involved in helping people to be able to legally avoid vaccines. You know, and as you mentioned earlier, one of the big problems is with nurses, because they're threatening nurses that they will fire them if they don't get a flu vaccine. Of all the silly things in the world, you know, I mean, there's a vaccine that's never worked, and no one even disagrees that it works. It's just become a knee-jerk reaction. You have to get flu vaccines. Like, I don't understand, Dr. Stan, how in the last couple of years it was never to the point where it was mandated. But I think that, you know, I think they've created their own monster. You know, sometimes you overstep, sometimes you won, and you grab defeat from the jaws of victory. I think that's what's happened with the pharmaceutical industry. They had won the battle over vaccines, but they started pushing, lobbying to get mandate after mandate, and all of a sudden the public is starting to rebel, and that's pretty exciting. You know, I mean, I find it very, very interesting, because I never thought 30 years ago, almost 40 years ago when I started in practice, it would reach a point that people would just stand up and say, no, I'm not going to be vaccinated.
Well, I certainly agree with you. Well, Sydney, if you have a question or comment for Dr. Einstein, give us a call, because he's certainly written extensively, and we've got Robert calling from Spokane. Hi, Robert. He's not apparently quite ready to come on. Yeah, there he is. Hi, Robert. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I do. If you could, with regard to hepatitis C, could you go over what the transfer agents are for that? Is that a sexually transmitted disease, or does that acquire in other venues?
Very good question.
I would appreciate
that.
Very
good question. Hepatitis B is a sexually transmitted disease.
Now, was that hepatitis B or hepatitis C you wanted to know about, Robert?
Yes.
C? You said C?
B or C?
Yes.
Robert, B or C?
C.
C. What about hepatitis C?
Well, C is also a sexually transmitted a disease, and it can be picked up three ways. It could be picked up by blood transfusion with blood that's infected. It could be picked up by having sexual relations with someone. And it's very interesting. Heterosexual relations rarely will transmit the virus. And this has nothing to do with politically correct or incorrect statements, you know, because the vagina is quite protective against any type of bacteria and viruses. And so, in a sense, that's one of the reasons. Also, if you get a cut, you know, a deep cut, and someone with hepatitis C puts some stuff into you, or so you can get it, but that's the least likely transmission. There's almost no other transmission of hepatitis C.
All right, hang on. We'll be back here in just a moment. If you have questions or comments, anything else you want to say, Robert, before we let you go?
Yeah, he mentioned...
Hang on, we'll get to in just a moment. Hang on.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
I know that there are some of you out there who are suffering from a debilitating disease. Many of you may feel that there's nothing else that can be done regarding your cancer. I want to suggest that you investigate the Invita Clinic. The only clinic of its kind, Invita offers an extensive array of advanced natural treatments under one roof. They treat a wide variety of conditions, particularly cancer and heart disease. The diversity of their doctors' education and training ensures that no stone is left unturned when it comes to patient care. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Better yet, investigate their website at www.invita.com. That's E-N-V-I-T-A.com. 866-830-4576, Invita at 866-830-4576. Invita.com. People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
So I wanted to know about diabetes and type 2 diabetes. And basically I... Had mentioned that in type 1 diabetes, it's been definitely shown that if you in children who have a full set of vaccinations, the incidence of type 1 diabetes is quite high. In children who do not take the vaccines, the incidence is low. And Dr. Eisenstein had said that basically he had taken care of, 40,000 children?
Well, between me and my partners, we've been blessed and privileged to take care of over 40,000 children, virtually all of them not vaccinated, and we have virtually no type 1 diabetes, and you expect about 1 in 500 right now, because we should have seen 80 cases. It's just so unlikely that we've seen none. Now, it's possible we have a couple because we don't have track of every one of these children, but 80 is a hard number to miss, you know. We also have virtually no ADD, virtually no ADHD, autism. We have zero peanut allergy in our practice, almost no asthma. And I can tell you a great experience. I was called in by Blue Cross about 3 or 4 years ago. They wanted to know, because I'm also the medical director for a small alternative medicine group, for Blue Cross, and we had about 1,000 children, and the incidence of asthma was running about 12%, so they expected to see about 120 cases of asthma in our group. We had one, And they had a very good definition for asthma. 2 emergency room visits in any 1 year for any type of respiratory illness or 1 hospitalization. The reason I say that's such a good definition, because it's definitive. It's not like one doctor calls it asthma, another doctor calls it bronchitis. So we're dealing with the same thing among all the 85 of Blue Cross groups. They called me in. They wanted to know why we had such a low rate of asthma. And I told them, oh, it's because we're great doctors. What other reason would there be? And the head medical director said, oh, we know why, because we have all the records here in front of us, because none of these children were vaccinated. That was, Dr. Stan, the most frightening moment I've had in medicine, because it means the big boys know the truth, and they know the truth, but they're not willing to do anything about it.
And I think that is one of the most frightening commentaries you'll ever hear. Anything else, Robert?
Just a quick review. The 3 ways of contacting hepatitis C are drug needle use, or IV needle use, a blood transfusion, and sexually transmitted.
That's it.
That's it. You got it.
There you go.
Okay,
all
Robert.
Thank you kindly. I appreciate it. You have a nice night there. Bye.
God bless. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Dr. Eisenstein, who's on the front lines, he's treating patients. Remember, I was an orthopedist, so I wasn't dealing with the problems, but I've read extensively on it. And in fact, I probably have read the Dr. Eisenstein statistics. I've read similar statistics elsewhere. They're destroying the lives of our children. What happens? Well, of course, when you take these vaccines, you alter the immune structure. You predispose the children to asthma. About 1 in 9 children will get asthma. 1 in 11 or 12 will get severe allergies, autoimmune disease, diabetes. 1 in 65 boys will get autism. 1 in every 6 children will have some sort of a mental problem, attention deficit disorder, neurodevelopmental abnormalities. They know what they're doing, and they also know about the diabetes. I mean, these are the statistics. They're there. But, of course, you're never going to hear this discussed at any medical meeting. You'll never see this discussed in the media because there is an agenda. Well, right now, let's go to Barbara, who's calling us from Soquel. And again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Barbara, do you have a question for our guest, Dr. Eisenstein?
Yes, I'm just wondering if he has any thoughts on the fact that, you know, even as adults now, you go to a doctor and they say, well, it's time you had another tetanus vaccine. But there's also the pertussis in with this. I was wondering what your thoughts are on that. I mean, tetanus,
well,
yes.
Let me tell you something. They're expanding their market like any good business would do. You know what I mean? I can think of just a couple of years ago when there was when I started in practice, they only recommended 1 measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. That was in the early 70s. Then when they had outbreaks, and even though all the outbreaks were totally vaccinated children, they then recommended 2. And then when 2 didn't work, they recommended 3. It reminds me of that commercial that was on a couple of years ago with one of the pizza companies where the scout leader comes in. They had a 2-for-1 sale, and he buys 1 pizza, and they say, and they give him another one free. So, well, then I have to pay you for 2. And then they give him 2 more free. And so it's up here, nothing's been given for free. You know, I think that Dr. Mendelsohn, my mentor, my late mentor, used to say, doctors and drug companies don't let go of 1 vaccine till find a more dangerous one to replace it. What's even worse now that they let go of the old whooping cough vaccine that was the and now they have a whole cell vaccine, and they were convinced it was the cell wall that was creating all the neurological problems. They admitted there was problems after they had a new one. And the new vaccine that's been given now is called DTaP. It's diphtheria, tetanus, acellular pertussis. Well, it turns out that this vaccine may be more dangerous than the old one. you know, because it is clearly less effective in a certain sense, and it's also causing the emergence of new strains of whooping cough strain. So, you know, my feeling is that they had not given this all together. This is just speculation. Any of these vaccines, a couple of people would have died who would otherwise live, but the disease would have been gone, no different than tuberculosis, cholera, plague, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, all these diseases that we've never given any vaccines, and the diseases die out. I think the concept of a vaccine is to perpetuate an illness rather than to really eliminate it.
Barbara, anything else you'd like to ask?
Well, I noticed that we've been seeing, you know, more instances of whooping cough lately and amongst adults,
right,
actually, than children. But I remember the good old days when, you know, somebody had measles and everybody sent the kids, you know, the children over to that person's house just so they would all get the measles and get it over with, and then, you know, all stay home, and then they all go back to school, and then, you know, they'd have had them.
And it makes a lot of sense, because, you know, and that may have been one of the reasons why all these diseases were dying out. But all of a sudden they start giving vaccines, and it delays the onset of the disease at best by a bunch of years. And all of a sudden we get it at a more serious age. Kind of interesting, unrelated to this, but Dr. Stan, I've been very fascinated with polio, and the biggest reason why polio vaccine and polio became such a big issue is because President Roosevelt allegedly had polio. Now, I don't believe for one second that he ever had polio. I think that he had Guillain-Barré, which is a crippling side effect of the flu vaccine. And there's evidence that he received the flu vaccine shortly before he developed paralysis. Have you seen, how many adults have you seen that had polio whose onset was as an adult?
Well, because by the time I got around to watching this sort of thing, my polio was pretty well gone. So go ahead.
But I don't remember any other cases, you know, that everyone talks about of adult onset polio. This was a childhood disease, and that's why it was called infantile paralysis. It wasn't called adult paralysis, you know. But this was a great marketing tool to use Roosevelt as. And that's what was the start of the March of Dimes. And if anyone doesn't realize what it was, because Roosevelt was on the dime, and they wanted people to donate their dimes to combat polio. A drug company, I don't know how to use the word, hoax or scam or whatever we want to call it. But, you know, I don't know where he came into the picture, except he was the president, you know. And he was a great, cheerleader for a disease, which I don't believe he ever had.
Very, very interesting. Never even thought of that before. Anything else, Barbara?
No, I'll let somebody else have a chance. Thank
All
you
right.
for what you're doing, Dr. Eisenstein.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much for calling. Let's go to Jeff, who's calling us from Spokane. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or Jeff, and he's listening in Yakima tonight. Hi, Jeff, how are we doing? And incidentally, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Jeff, go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Stan. Yeah, I'm in Yakima tonight, and you're coming in great on the AM 930 station here. I do business here a lot, so I get to catch you not only at home, but when I'm away from home, too, so it's nice. My question, I'm a physical therapist, and they wanted us to take that hepatitis B vaccine, I could guess now, 6-7 years ago, something like that. And I guess here's my big question. What can I do to keep myself healthy so I don't end up in that statistic I heard Dr. Eisenstein say just a few minutes ago about the nurses that have gotten hepatitis B?
Did you take the vaccine?
I was not aware of a danger at that time, and the more I listen to you, the more I realize, oh my gosh, I've done something. So is there something I can do?
Let me ask you, did you take all three of the vaccines?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, you know, the bottom line is the Lord is good. That's really the bottom line. And in spite of everything we do or is done to us, we do quite well. But I'm going to give you a couple of suggestions what to do, and this goes along with everyone who's had vaccines or has had vaccines, I would get your vitamin D level checked, especially living up in Spokane. You know, it's very unlikely, even in the summertime, you're going to get lots of sun. You know, and you want to keep your vitamin D level at least 60 to 80 nanograms per ml. And vitamin D has been shown to be very protective, in a sense, against flu and colds, respiratory illness. It's kind of one of the reasons why in the summer we see so much less of this than we do in the winter. Secondly, I would make sure you get enough vitamin C. I think those are the two things, vitamin D, vitamin C, two very valuable nutrients. And vitamin D is actually not even a vitamin. But, you know, it's been so protective against so much stuff and helps. You know, I don't give antibiotics anymore. It's with extreme rarity that I pass them out. Or if someone comes in, we use vitamin D as a treatment, and I can tell you that it is 10 times more effective. And I learned that from some of the doctors in the last few years, but I can tell you I really learned it when I think about it. My grandmother, when I wasn't feeling good, she would say, "What are you doing inside? Get outside. Go play outside. Get some sun. Get some fresh air." You know, and so our grandmothers knew the treatment for respiratory illness and many of the things, you know. And so I think that's kind of a simple thought. Just go on Google and look at some of the research in vitamin D. And you go to my website also, homefirst.com. I've got 10-12 articles on vitamin D and some of its benefits.
Well, Tim, I agree with everything Dr. Eisenstein has said. However, of course, you want to know about the vaccine. Well, let me tell you that I had a fairly substantial office staff at the time. I think we had about 5 girls working with me, including my wife, and they all took the vaccine. To my knowledge, none of them had any complications. The only person who had any complications was me, and I have a peripheral neuritis. My feet went numb, and of course, through the years, why we've got progressive weakness of my legs. I've been to the university. I've been to the local neurologist, been to the university, and they've announced I have idiopathic peripheral neuritis. Now, what is idiopathic peripheral neuritis? It means they have no idea why I have it. I have an idea, because certainly one of the primary effects of hepatitis B vaccine is peripheral neuritis. And certainly I suppose I could work it up and find the antibodies there, but I'm not that interested, not a thing I can do about it, and I will have this for the rest of my life. Fortunately, you didn't have a reaction. Hopefully, you will not take other vaccines in the future. Okay?
Oh, I haven't, not since then. And just very quickly, I do take vitamin D as a liquid form. It's kind of an oil-based liquid form.
Oh, how much do you take? Well, you want to take D3, and you want to take at least 5,000 units a day.
That's what I was looking for. How many international
right.
units?
Right, and I
about
can tell
5,000.
I recommend to get your blood tested because different people absorb at different rates. And I think what Dr. Stan said is 100% right. You know, but some people at 5,000 don't get a high enough level. And some people, 5,000 is more than enough. So get it tested. Simple thing to do, you know, you want it at least 60 to 80, minimum 60 to 80.
Okay, and Dr. Eisenstein is he's a clinician. I'm just an observer, so I'll take his advice. Anything else?
Your advice is perfect, Dr. Stan.
Anything else you'd like to ask Jeff before we let you go?
No, I'm very grateful for that. Thanks very much, gentlemen.
Okay, God bless, and let's see if we can get Tim here from Illinois. If they'll just pass Tim over, or why we'll take the call from Tim. Anyway, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And could you repeat your 800 number, Dr. Eisenstein? Somebody asked for it.
It's 866-395-1881. It's 866-395-1881.
All right, very good. Well, let's go to...
My translation. Had an internal memo advising their hierarchy not best to take any of these flu shots or other...
Well, can you document that fact?
No, I haven't. That's what I was going to ask, Dr.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. I wrote about it in my book, Make an Informed Vaccine Decision, about the Simpson Wood meetings, and they were very frightening. I mean, this was obtain through the Freedom of Information Act all the information, you know.
And so Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Held back in the year 2000, as I remember, going into the background of autism and its relationship to vaccination. And it was the conclusion of the experts from the CDC. There was a very definite causal relationship between a routine vaccination and, of course, autism. And one of the doctors said, well, I just had my grandchild of Sydney, and I think they were also talking about the hepatitis B vaccine. I just had my grandchild born last night, and they're not going to get the vaccines. But then they wanted to say, how will we conceal this from the public? Now, we have some excellent sources of information on this. We have a little book written by Barbara Lowe Fisher on vaccination. Just ask for the book by Barbara Lowe Fisher. We have My Talk, The Specter Haunting America. It's available on DVD. And we have the talk by Dr. Ayub, Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda. It's on DVD. Excellent. His talk on aluminum and vaccination, important. We have an excellent talk, Vaccines and Brain Development by Dr. Blaylock. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my syllabus that goes with the talk, The Specter Haunting America. You need to get this information. You need to read it. You need to get it to your doctor. You need to get it to your friends. You let them know that they're destroying the lives of our children, and they know what they're doing. They just can't let the public know. Why? Because we're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry. Most doctors aren't involved in this. Most doctors are trying to be helpful and do what they think is best. But you will never hear this discussed at medical meetings that I go regularly. You will not see this discussed in medical journals. They have total control over what the doctor reads, what he sees, and what he believes. Your job is to get informed and get to your doctor and just show him the material. Get a copy of this tape to talk with Dr. Eisenstein. I get his book. It's an excellent book. And as I recall, we carry his book on vaccinations. Why? Because you need something simple and straightforward. You need to be able to document the fact there's a definite causal relationship between vaccinations and asthma, autoimmune disease, neurodevelopmental abnormalities, autism, type 2 diabetes, autoimmune diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis. And if you hate children, you go ahead and push this. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, there is a genocidal agenda. They're trying to destroy the lives of our children. They're not interested in helping them. Go to my website at radioliberty.com. and pull down the articles I wrote on vaccination. Just go to your search engine and type in Radio Liberty and newsletter vaccinations. There's several of them up there. Pull them down, read them, study them, and then duplicate them and get them out. Take them to your doctor. Let him see the material. And then ask him if he will accept full responsibility for the complications that are going to develop if your child is vaccinated. And very, very few of them will. Our telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty. And pray for our provision and protection. We'll be back here in just a moment with another fascinating program. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here on the Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our next guest this evening is Steve Dace, and Steve certainly wants to talk about Rick Santorum, and certainly I thought that in the name of fairness I would put somebody on who supports, I assume he is supporting Rick Santorum. Certainly the group of Christians got together and they actually supposedly considered all the candidates and they came up with Rick Santorum. Because, of course, he is, supports Israel. Well, I think anybody who supports going to war with Iran must hate Israel, because my concern is that, certainly if there's a war with Iran, why, of course, Iran is going to attack Israel. Iran would never attack Israel, because, of course, they know the consequences, but if they are under attack and facing extermination, they will attack Israel. So if you support Israel, do not support going to war with Iran. I think it's very, very short-sighted. However, this is my opinion, and let's see if we can get Steve Dace on the line and get his opinion. But basically, unfortunately, many of our Christian leaders are supporting torture, as does Rick Santorum. Many of our Christian leaders are supporting, certainly, this war with Iran, thinking somehow if we just attack Iran, they will not retaliate against Israel and will protect Israel. I say that if you support Israel, the last thing you want to do is support an attack on Iran. And yet, of course, they've convinced the Christians all across America that they shouldn't support Ron Paul, because, of course, Ron Paul is against Israel. Ron Paul wants to cut off the money given to Israel's enemies, about $12 billion a year. We give Israel $3 billion. We give Israel $3 billion. We give their enemies $12 billion. And then, of course, they use that to conspire against Israel. We, of course, tell Israel what to do. We control Netanyahu. Netanyahu is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was actually created by the Council on Foreign Relations. He is carrying out their programs, and they want to get that whole area involved in a major conflict. And I'm very, very concerned that we're going to be moving into a war in that area that is going to have profound implications on our country here. But we'll certainly want to hear what Steve Dace has to say. And then, of course, we will ask you to call in if you have any question or comment at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, Steve, how are you tonight?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself? I understand that you do talk radio yourself.
I do. In fact, I just finished my own nationally syndicated show, the Steve Dace Show, and we're on in about 30 markets around the country. It started on December 5th, and we're in 10 of the top 100 markets so far. And I used to do a drive time show before I got syndicated. I used to do a very highly rated local show in Des Moines, Iowa, on what's considered a legendary radio station, 1040 WHO, that boasted his claim to fame, Ronald Reagan, as its very first ever sports director. And I write for townhall.com, as well as I've written for WorldNet Daily and the Washington Times. And I've written a new book, We Won't Get Fooled Again, Where the Christian Right Went Wrong and How to Make America Right Again.
All right, fine. Well, basically, are you on Salem, or who are you syndicated with?
Yep, our show is syndicated through the Salem Radio Network, correct.
All right, fine. We'll be back here in just a moment with Steve Dace, right here at Radio Liberty. All right, Steve, well, I'm just going to let you go ahead and pick up the story. What are your views?
Well, I would consider myself someone that doesn't believe either the Bible or the Constitution are a living, breathing document. I would say the foundation of my worldview would be sola scriptura, meaning that the Bible isn't the only truth in the world, but that all truth has to be reconciled to the Bible as the Word of God, that anything that challenges the Bible is not true. And I believe that the Constitution is should be interpreted literally as it was intended and written by those who actually wrote it. So I would say, for the purposes of this interview, those two things would be the best overall summation of my worldview and where my opinions on the issues come from.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly would not disagree with either of those propositions. So where then does your worldview take us at this time in history, because I think we're entering one of the most dangerous and certainly frightening periods of my life. I've been following this for 50 years, researching what's going on, and doing talk radio for 50 years. So basically, tell us what your views are and how you certainly evaluate the Republican race, what do you think about Mr. Obama, what do you think about the Republican candidates, what do you think about the very real possibility of a coming war with Iran, and what impact is that going to have on Israel? Go right ahead.
I think everything that you just said, all the questions you just asked, I would answer by saying our current way of life is not sustainable. That we simply cannot sustain living as bankrupt as we are morally and financially, that no civilization that has entered down the primrose path of decadence and debtorness that we are currently on has sustained itself, and neither will we. It violates God's natural law. It's not the way the planet was designed and created to operate. And that sooner or later, when you deviate outside of those boundaries enough as a people, corporately, it has dramatic repercussions for your civilization and your way of life. And I think all the questions that you just asked me are symptoms of what I'm describing. And that is that we are at a point now, you know, Yogi Berra once famously said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. And we are right now at that fork in the road. I mean, we are either going to take the first steps back towards the republic on which it stands, on which we were intended to stand.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Steve is just saying that he feels that our current lifestyle, our current way of life in America is not sustainable, and that certainly we cannot continue going as we are. He used that famous quotation from Yogi Berra, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. And, of course, he's suggesting that we have to begin moving back towards what we were, because the direction we're headed is towards disaster. So pick up the story, Steve.
Thank you very much. Yes, we have a decision to make. And we have that decision we need to make is in this era, in this generation. And it's the same decision, you know, you go back to our book, We Won't Get Fooled Again. And the Christian right was birthed 30 years ago for such a time as this. And it got involved to stop us from getting to this point as a nation. But it didn't accomplish any of its goals. And now the next generation of political activism will have to clean up a much bigger mess than the religious, inherited from the religious right, than the religious right got in, was formed to fight in the first place. And there's several reasons for that I'm sure we'll get into in this interview. But in a macro sense, we have to. We have no alternative. We have to start making some tough choices. We have to start taking some bold stands. We have to get back taking the first steps towards returning to a constitutional republic, because we can't sustain this. And our enemies, both foreign and domestic, to the American way of life, they're smelling blood in the water. They are sensing that this is a weakened nation, and they're preparing themselves to exploit that.
I agree with everything you're saying. So, first of all, where did the Christian right go wrong? Because, of course, I've been, as a member of the Christian right, as it is part of the little group of Christian leaders who, 20 years ago, 1999, actually picked Herbert George W. Bush for the presidency. Of course, there were about 30 of us that picked him. He looked me, we each had an opportunity to ask him a question. He looked me right in the eye, and he lied to me, and he lied to John Stormer sitting next to me. But he managed to bulldoze all those Christians into believing that he was an evangelical Christian. In fact, every one of them there, I got their picture taken with the George W. Bush, except me. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And he ran across the room when he saw I was going to get my picture taken to tell me how much he enjoyed meeting me and how pleased he was my involvement in Christian activities. George Bush was a great actor, just like many of our other so-called Christian leaders, but unfortunately, I doubt very much that he believed much of what he said. But be that as it may, we have Christian leaders who've been almost consistently wrong for a number of years, and that's one reason we're in the mess we are today. But how can we remedy? These are good people. I don't question their motivation. I just question their understanding and their leadership. Go right ahead.
Well, I think your observations are very keen, and it's spoken from someone who has been there firsthand. And one of the reasons we wrote our book the way we wrote it, because my co-author and I are not from a generation that spent 30 years fighting for righteousness. And we thought it would be unfair for us as the arrogant younger generation to backseat drive those who came before us with 20/20 hindsight, like we're know-it-alls, but we've never walked a mile in those shoes. And so the observations that we make and the conclusions we draw come from the actual conversations we had with the people we interviewed, meaning that leaders, names you would know, from Tom Minery at Focus on the Family, Richard Land at the Southern Baptist Convention, Ann Coulter, David Barton at Wall Builders, these people in this book, and we find out from them why have we lost and get their answers. And it's based on their answers that we draw the conclusions that we draw. And I could get in really in depth into some of the conclusions, but if I had to pick two things of all the things that we saw that kept reoccurring in our failures, it would be number one, that we put the Bible on mothballs. There's a story in the Bible about a young king named Josiah, and he sends a priest named Hilkiah to go and clean out the temple and prepare it. And while Hilkiah is in the temple, he discovers this scroll in and around all of these other pagan religious relics. And he opens up this scroll, and it's the book of the law. And they were so lost as a culture, they didn't even know where it was or what it was. And if you remember the end of Moses' speech when he's giving the Jewish people law, the Torah, when he gives it to him, he gives it with this admonishment, this warning. He says, "Now I have set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live in the land." And Hilkiah takes this scroll to his king. His king reads these words, and he tears off his clothes as a sign of repentance. And he puts on sackcloth and ashes, the Bible says, and he leads revival of his culture. We need to see that again in America today. But we're not going to do it when Christian leaders put the Bible on mothballs instead of bringing it out. Imagine a general who went to war and he had a devastating weapon, a weapon that would devastate the enemy. But he chose not to use it because it would offend his opponent. We would call that general stupid. But that's exactly what we've done. We've taken the Word of God. We've put it on mothballs. It's the most powerful weapon we have. And because of that tactic, I don't question a lot of these people's Christian conversion or their sincere love for the Lord Jesus. I think some of them are phony. But most of them, I think, have just a lack of biblical understanding about their strategy, their tactics, the way they are pursuing what they're pursuing. And that's why we end up getting fooled again. We end up with leaders like George W. Bush, who's much more like that which we oppose, except that which we're for. And that's the first thing I would mention, is to bring back the Bible in our line of thinking, in the way we think, and even sometimes in the way we talk. But most of all, to have it really influence our thinking. And the second thing I would mention is that we've got to promote issues and not a political party. Doesn't mean we stop being Republicans or voting Republicans, but it does mean that we've done a lot of good promoting the Republican Party brand and helping the Republican Party raise money, get its politicians elected, and they've given us nothing on our issues in exchange. We have to focus on driving the agenda and not worrying about having access and a seat at the table. That's where the moral compromise comes in.
You're absolutely right. What we need is a great revival and return to the Word of the Lord and standing on principle. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Well, and that's really, if you look at the history of the Christian church, that is when it's been at its best. You know, we don't name churches or schools after leaders who compromise their virtue to get where they're at. We just don't do that. Men of principle usually end up being memorialized. It's just a matter of whether their principles were righteous or not. And the same is true for the church. You know, Tertullian, an ancient church father, once made the observation that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the early church. And what I think he meant by that is that when Roman people saw Christians being willing to sacrifice themselves on the belief that their Lord Jesus rose from the dead, even if it meant being devoured by hungry lions in the Colosseum, when they saw the willingness of these Christians to lay down their life for what they believed, not lay down others' lives like we see in radical Islam, but laying down their own lives for what they believed, that it was a powerful witness and a testimony, and it moved those people. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we should find places to have to be martyred, but I am saying that if we aren't willing to spiritually lay down our lives the way Christ commands, we will soon face a culture where we physically may have to, as the church fathers did in pagan Rome.
Agreed. Go right ahead.
And so I think that's really ultimately where it comes down to, is we have to make a decision, which is, do we want to win elections or do we want to drive an agenda? And I think if you want to drive an agenda, you can drive that agenda even if you don't win elections. Look at the homosexual lobby. They pretty much get whatever they want, no matter who's in power. Why? Because they're agenda-focused, not party-focused.
I think that's a very, very good point. Go ahead.
And if you look at the history of the homosexual movement, it's ironic. It was pretty much born at the exact same time as the religious right. Now, even though the issue of marriage is undefeated on the ballot, it's 31-0 every time it's up for election. But who's won the war? Who has won the war for the hearts and minds of the next generation? Christians or the homosexual lobby? You tell me, who's won the war?
Well, they're doing a pretty good job, aren't they?
Yeah, they've won. They've won the battle of the hearts and minds. Every despotic regime in the history of humankind. What's the first demographic it targets? The youth. Why? Because that's where you build brand loyalty for the future. And that's what the homosexual movement has done. It's targeted the youth, and it's built brand loyalty for the future. And it built the right foundation. The Christians did not do that.
I agree with you totally. So how do we reach our youth? Basically in school today, they start in kindergarten indoctrinating the youth that homosexuality is perfectly all right.
Right.
Cross-dressing is all right. And certainly we should not be bigoted against homosexuals or hate them. And, of course, we shouldn't. But if we care about homosexuals, we're going to tell them what you're doing is wrong. You're going to die young. And, of course, what you're doing is wrong because it's unhealthy, but mostly because it's in violation of God's law. But we're not even allowed to talk about God in our churches today, I should say in our schools today. And, unfortunately, our children go to public schools where their faith in the Lord is destroyed systematically. Okay, Steve, I certainly can't disagree with anything you've said so far, so we'll be back here in just a moment as we begin looking at the situation where we stand today. America is at a crossroads, I really believe, and I think we're going to be entering the most difficult times of the lives of the people listening to this program. Our guest is Steve Dace. We'll be back in a moment. Go right ahead.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available.
Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Is there going to be a war this year? He was just simply stating that he attended a meeting not too long ago with some of the leading conservative Christian leaders. Somebody from a background in national security got up and said, I think there's going to be a war between Israel and Iran this year, and it will probably involve a nuclear exchange. And I fear that may well be correct. So basically, did he develop that idea any further than that?
He did. And the conclusion I came to listening to him was, number one, we are incredibly naive about Islamic dominionism. This idea that you can just have, you can be Muslim in the privacy of your own home and not have it really cross over into other aspects of your life. That's just not true. And that's why when you look at Islamist countries, Islam is fused into every single aspect of their society, because that's what Islam is. It really is ultimately a systematic philosophy, not just a theology, but a philosophy of governance and everything else. So that's number one. I mean, Islam by its very nature is called to try to attempt to dominionize itself. That's number one. So we're naive about that. But then number two, there is a sense that our resolve is weakened, that the American people, and I think with legitimacy, have grown tired of wars in Iraq and Afghanistan that seemingly had no end, that seemingly had no real aim. And, you know, we've spent how many years in Afghanistan now, 10 years, almost it'll be 11 years in October, and what we have to show for it is the State Department says there's not a single public Christian church open for business in Afghanistan. You know, so I think the American people, their resolve on foreign wars has been worn down, and they really don't have the stomach for a conflict with Iran. They want to be left alone. And unfortunately, a regime like what is in place in Iran would be in position to take advantage of that. And since that we also have a president who has had some very harsh language throughout the course of his administration for Israel, has even given speeches in Islamic lands referring to the, quote, holy Quran, unquote, which just does nothing but just further embolden the Islamists. And so when you combine a naivete about Islam with a weakened and lack of resolve of the American people and our government towards the Islamic radicalists, then you see that they would be emboldened to try to push the envelope and take this to the next level. And I think that is why this national security expert that I heard speak believes in a year there will be a war between Israel and Iran, and that it will more than likely include some form of a nuclear exchange.
But what would the outcome of that be? And a nuclear exchange could have a devastating effect on that whole part of the world. Certainly you cannot have an isolated nuclear exchange. There are many people, of course, believe that Iran also has access to nuclear weapons. And if nuclear weapons were to be used against Iran, do we have any guarantee that Pakistan would not give Iran the nuclear weapons to respond with? And where would something like this end?
Well, I think the answer to all your questions is we don't know. We are entering into uncharted waters. And what you just described with all of the different tentacles to this is the historical precedent is we are very much intertwined in various alliances. The community of nations around the world is. And historically, the precedent for this is the environment prior to World War One, the powder keg that was all of these various alliances, all of these various empires. And even though we may be the lone superpower, we're not the lone country in the world with weapons of mass destruction. And so really every country that has weapons of mass destruction is an empire of some sort because they can export their influence away across their borders with those weapons if they choose to do so. So you throw in all these various entanglements, and you haven't even mentioned the Russian and Chinese assistance they've given to the Iranian nuclear program, for example. You throw all this into the powder keg of an election year here in the United States. And I think we have no way of forecasting what this would do. And the economic instability, you think gas is expensive now and fuel is expensive now, and it's driving up the price of everything. Let's have an all-out, full-scale war in the Middle East and see what the price of fuel is.
Well, you paint a very ominous picture, Chris. Our listeners, I hear this repeatedly because we share all of your concerns. And, of course, our guest is Steve Dayson, and he's talking about the very real possibility of a nuclear war in the Middle East this year. Do not discount this at all, ladies and gentlemen. And remember, God sometimes brings his judgment upon nations. Fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Well, Steve, pick the story up from there because, of course, the scenario you paint is not impossible at all. In fact, I believe we're going to see this. So what should we be doing? What should the Christians in America be doing? I think the first thing, of course, we need is a spiritual revival. And without that revival, I think God is going to allow terrible things to happen to our land. But you pick up the story.
Well, I would agree with you. I think ultimately the only hope has always been what it always has been, and that is revival. And if you look at the history of the United States, the atmosphere or the conditions that were created to allow for self-government were birthed out of those sorts of spiritual revivals, which we called awakenings in those days, those great awakenings. And those great awakenings, those spiritual revivals created the moral climate that allowed for people to say, hey, we can self-govern. We do not need a nanny state. We can do this. We understand that we are moral agents, that we are ultimately accountable to God, and that the government that governs least is the one that governs best is the one that governs least. And when you put too much power and concentrate it in the hands of too much of fallen human nature, you end up with corruption and the very things that we're dealing with right now. The problem is we don't have the moral climate in America to return to the form of government we need to sustain and to save ourselves. And that moral climate is only going to be created with spiritual revivals. And until we see that again, and I don't believe we will see that, because until we do some things as Christians. I think if you look at both in the Bible, I could illustrate this pattern, but also in the history of the church, that they're not always, I wouldn't say it's a metaphysical certitude, but in general, there's a pattern that takes place leading to revival. And that pattern is that I would say it's a formula. Repentance plus reformation equals revival. Meaning, first of all, that people recognize that what they are doing is wrong, what they have done is wrong, and they corporately repent of those sins, number one. There's repentance. And then there's reformation, and that means that they worship and acknowledge God in ways that he...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess it's Steve Dason. Basically, he's saying that, basically, of course, nothing is going to change until we change the hearts of the American people. And that's absolutely true, Chris. I think that we're not going to be able to change the hearts of the American people until there's a horrible, horrible, catastrophic event. And I fear that this is coming much sooner than most people imagine. And at that point, hopefully people are going to start asking, what's this all about? And hopefully Steve out there and his network of people listening to him, that the others of our friends are out there trying to get the word out. Hopefully there will be enough people who begin to understand how this all fits together. That we're not involved in a political battle or an ideological battle or a cultural battle. We're involved in a spiritual battle that's being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And until that happens, until people are willing to repent, there's not going to be any changes in America. So before we go on, Steve, I want you to tell our listeners how they get your website, and would you like to tell them about your book?
You bet. You can visit our website at stevedace.com. That's D-E-A-C-E. And there is a video trailer for the book right there on the front page that you can watch. The book is called We Won't Get Fooled Again, Where the Christian Right Went Wrong and How to Make America Right Again. And it's available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. And that's probably the easiest way to order the book. Again, it's called We Won't Get Fooled Again, Where the Christian Right Went Wrong and How to Make America Right Again.
All right, fine. We'll just pick the story up from there.
Well, what I was saying before we went to the break is that I think there's a pattern you see when there's revival. There's a formula, which is repentance plus reformation equals revival. And that repentance begins with the people understanding who they are, why they need God, and that they have violated God's law, number one. That's where the repentance comes in. And then the reformation comes in, and this is where we return to acknowledging and worshiping God in a way he commands us to, where he is exalted and not us, where it's about him and not us. And then I think when we do those two things, then I think God sends revival. So I think it's repentance plus reformation equals revival. You know, we often quote 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, okay, will humble themselves, turn from their sins, and seek my face. Now, what did I just describe with that? repentance. That's what I just described, okay? Seek my face, meaning they will worship me in a way that leads them to me, okay? That's reformation. Then what? Then God says, then I will hear their prayers, and I will heal their land. That's revival. Repentance plus reformation equals revival.
Very, very well said. All right, fine. So basically, then how are, from your point of view, how are we going to get this reformation? How are we going to get the repentance that hopefully will lead to the revival? What is it that's going to affect the American people who are so much more concerned about, you know, Sydney, who's going to win the basketball games now that the Super Bowl is over? Who is certainly going to win the Republican nomination rather than what these men really stand for? How are we going to get people to be concerned about the loss of biblical principles in our nation, in our schools, in our land?
Well, I think we won't be able to get the rest of the country concerned about that until we are. I think that's really the issue. I don't believe a culture can turn away from the church. I think that violates Scripture. Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, not even the gates to hell, the gates to Hades will prevail against it. I don't believe a culture can turn away from the church. What I believe happens is more often than not, the culture ends up mimicking the church. And what you're seeing from the culture at large right now in this country is simply a mirrored reflection of what is going on in our churches. I mean, the guy with the biggest quote-unquote Christian church in America never ever preaches about sin and repentance and redemption. And it's just all self-esteem feel-goodism. And why is that? Well, what's the impact of that? The impact of that is that ends up seeping into what happens in the rest of the culture. And I think that's ultimately the issue here, which is it's not so much what are we going to be able to get the rest of the culture to understand. It's what are we going to actually do within the church? Peter says it this way, judgment begins in the house of the Lord first. So the emphasis is on us. I mean, the Bible teaches that, it's better. Peter says this too, actually. He says, listen, it is better to never know right from wrong than it is to know right from wrong and still not do it, or to know the law of God and still not obey it. And that's ultimately what has to start with us, is we have to get back to teaching and living and being the Word of God. And I think when you see that happen in a church, then I think the rest of the culture just takes care of itself.
But, of course, that sounds very good, Steve, but I've been at this for 50 years, remember, and I belong to all of these key conservative organizations and key political organizations and key evangelical organizations and attended their meetings on a regular basis and finally gave up on all of them because none of them were addressing the issues, which is why I do what I do. 5 hours a day, 5 hours of talk radio. At least we have a few people out across America who have a grasp of what's going on. And I agree with everything you have said so eloquently. How are we going to get the church to change? Now, certainly, I don't know if you probably don't know Chuck Christmeyer, but if you don't know him, I hope you'll get him on your program. He's written a wonderful book called The Secret of the Lord. And it all centers around one thing, that where the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom.
Right.
Over and over again in the scriptures, when you really read them, we're told to fear the Lord. Certainly we should love the Lord, but fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And yet, of course, this is never taught in our churches today.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I look at the fear of the Lord similar to when your mama used to tell you, what if your daddy gets home? Meaning that, you know, your father has done all this work for you. He's given you life. He provides your provision, the food on your table, the clothes in your back. He's the source of your life, the source of your provision. And he's out there working on your behalf. And what do you think his reaction will be when he comes home and I tell him that your son took everything that he's given, that you've given him, and he squandered it on being disrespectful and behaving poorly? And how angry do you think that will make him that you have wasted all of the things your daddy has done for you? And that's sort of how I define the fear of the Lord. And that we should understand that we're dealing here with the King of the universe. And yes, we cry out to him, Abba Father, we cry out to him, Daddy, that he loves us, that he will care for us and be there for us, but that he still, he's the King of the universe. Demons shudder at his name. That this is nothing to be, you know, a force powerful enough to speak creation into existence is not to be trifled with. And unfortunately, it's the awesomeness of God that we have lost in our churches. And we have reduced him down to a bending machine of our desires, sort of an intergalactic Santa Claus, except he doesn't even have a naughty and nice list. He's just nice all the time. You know, I've quoted this to my own children quite a bit. It's a line from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and it's from little Lucy Pevensey. She asks Mr. Beaver about the Aslan character, the lion who is the allegory for Jesus in the C.S. Lewis famous book. And little Lucy, she's scared of this lion because a lion is a powerful creature. And she says to Mr. Beaver, is Aslan this lion? Is he safe? And Mr. Beaver says, oh no, he is not safe, but he is good. And that's really what God is. He is not safe. God is not safe. He's the King of the universe. You know, the Bible says when he returns, it will be with a sword and a robe dipped in blood, okay? He will return as a warrior. And that will not, and a warrior that will judge the nation. He will not be safe, but he will be good. And we need to get back to preaching and teaching that God again in our churches.
Amen to that. And certainly, of course, it's our thought and reiterated over and over again, that what has happened in the Christian church today is they've changed the message and they've changed the music of our churches. And the churches, you go and you're entertained on Sunday and maybe they have a Bible study and maybe you go to it and you maybe get some teaching from the scriptures, but the very essence of the traditional Christian message has been deleted from most of our churches today. And until we get back to an understanding that if God is only love, that it is the ultimate triumph of evil. Because that's exactly what Lucifer is advocating. Everybody should be loved, but there are no consequences for misbehaving. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, that reminds me of that sign I saw one time. It said, the Lord is coming soon, and boy, is he mad. So, said perhaps with tongue-in-cheek, but I believe that we're in real trouble as a nation, and the only solution to that will be a mass revival. What could we do? I mean, certainly I agree with this, but how are we going to get people's attention? I'm so glad that you're reaching a lot of people with your ministry. Steve, I think that you're right. You got it just exactly as it is. But how are we going to get people to care? How are we going to get them to listen to your message, which is exactly the message I've been teaching for 50 years? Go ahead.
Well, I think if you look throughout history, I mean, let's just look in recent history. After 9/11, were the churches full or were they empty? They were full. And there were lines of people waiting to go to church after 9/11. Why? Because we were reminded that in the order, we were reminded of the order of things. We were reminded that there is tangible, objective evil in the world. That there are those who will act upon that tangible, objective evil. That not all belief systems are the same. Not all religions are the same. They teach very, very different things and make very, very different demands. And that ultimately, to come to grips with those truths, to understand them, to know what the remedies are for them, and how to reconcile them, requires us to seek a knowledge and an authority and a source more powerful than ourselves. And I think that where I am optimistic is I do think we're starting to see more of that. You know, it's interesting. We are watching all of our idols that we have had, that we have taken our pride in as Americans, watching all of them be stripped bare in front of us, from the military to our economy to our fiat currency to even our mega churches. All the things that we have said, like the ancient Israelites who looked at Jeremiah and said, hey, as long as we have the temple, God will not judge us. All the things that we have said, like those ancient Israelites, hey, as long as we have this, God, as long as we have our mighty military, God's not judging us. As long as we have our robust economy, God's not judging us. As long as we have thousands of people flocking to these churches, God's not judging us. And we are watching all of these fallacies just be stripped bare right before our very eyes. And it's prompting some interesting conversations. It's prompting people to ask the right questions. And I think that's the way the process works. And my prayer is that it won't take something truly cataclysmic to finally wake the masses, but that God will give us the grace that enough of us wake up on what are really just tremors compared to what could ultimately happen. And that even that alone will be enough to wake us up so that something more drastic is not required.
Well, Steve, I hope and pray you're right. I've been at this long enough to not be quite that optimistic. I think it's going to take a cataclysmic event to reach to the very heart of the American people.
I will say this. If you're right, you know, Charles Krauthammer was just on Fox News last week, a longtime conservative political analyst, and he said it was all but guaranteed that Israel was going to preemptively strike Iran. And if he's right about that, that could certainly generate the kind of cataclysmic event you're talking about.
Right, and because remember, Israel is not isolated. Iran is not isolated.
That's right.
There's a growing, certainly, resurgence of radical Islam, not only all throughout the Near East and the Middle East. They have nuclear weapons in the form of Pakistan. If you don't know how Pakistan really got the nuclear weapons, if you honestly think that, you know, a couple of Pakistanians with their turbans on, just decided to figure out how to build a nuclear bomb, why you're incredibly naive, I simply go to my website, look up the Sybil Edmonds story. The Sybil Edmonds, E-D-M-O-N-D-S, story at RadioLiberty.com, and you'll get an entirely different view that's known all throughout the world, except not here in America, where we supposedly have freedom of the press. Well, we do have a couple of things on our side. One is why we do have alternative radio. We have Christian radio. We have some excellent networks out there, and Salem is an excellent network, and we have other people who are doing similar things. And how many stations are on, Steve?
We're on in about 30 markets right now.
All right. That's great. Well, I just hope that you'll pick up more and more. Are most of those Salem stations?
Some are. Some are Christian stations. Some are Clear Channel Talk stations. It's kind of a mixed bag, which I like. I mean, I do my show that, like any other commercial talk radio program. It just happens to be from a Christian moral viewpoint, but I don't hide that. It sounds very contemporary, very edgy, like any other talk show hosted by a 38-year-old guy. It just happens to come from a biblical viewpoint.
Well, I think it's so important. You know, Cindy, I do a lot of secular stations as well at the time, and I never hide my Christianity, and I always emphasize the importance of realizing that this is a spiritual battle, and without revival, there is no hope. Basically, what would be the message you would like to leave with our listeners tonight?
That I think ultimately change begins with us. And we cannot expect the culture at large to return to its foundational roots until the church does. And it will ultimately, the culture will ultimately take its cue from us, just as it did at the founding of this country with the Great Awakenings that gave birth to it.
I agree with you. Of course, we're going to have to get a lot of our ministers to be willing, of course, to take a stand. And basically, a lot of them don't want to. A lot of them are almost afraid to take a stand because, of course, they have more fear of the board of directors or of government than they do of God. And I really believe we've got to reinstill in the hearts of people that fear of God, which is so foundational to the Christian faith. Well, we've got just 3 minutes to finish up the program, Steve, and I'll let you go. So it's been a fascinating, fascinating program.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States.
A little bit tired, so hopefully another couple of nights of good sleep, and we'll be back to our regular vigor under any circumstances. I hope you enjoyed the program tonight. I know I did. I had no idea what Steve was going to talk about. He is a very wise young man. I'm glad he has a good voice out across America. Under any circumstances, we do hope that if you are out there in the listening audience, why, you'll give serious consideration to supporting Radio Liberty and helping us as we move to increase our outreach across this country. And, of course, we're going to do that with your help. Certainly, we have some new thoughts and ideas. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Now, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. If you want to understand the history of the wars of the past century, you need to get our talk on Iraq, the untold story, and the syllabus that goes with that, because the documentation is there, And there's no question that all of the wars have been brought about by and totally false approaches. They lied to us about the origin of the Spanish-American War. They lied to us about the reason that America should get into the First World War. All sorts of atrocity stories, none of them true. Simply very similar to the atrocity stories they told before we went to war in Kuwait about how, of course, the Iraqi soldiers were taking little babies out of the bassinets and throwing them onto the under the floor in the nursery and bayoneting them. It was all a lie, like the stories they told during the First World War about how they were raping and ravishing the Belgian women, the Germans were, and cutting off the hands of little Belgian boys. When they start telling atrocity stories, ladies and gentlemen, it's always the same, and they're always lies. And with the real atrocities, like, of course, the murder of over 43 million Chinese between 58 and 62, not a word of it in the media. You've probably never heard of the Great Hunger that occurred in China between 58 and 62, where 43.5 million Chinese were intentionally starved to death. How could you conceal something like that? Why, the media is controlled, and you better start looking for alternative sources of information. That's what Radio Liberty is about. And you want anything documented that we say, you can always call us at 1-800-544-8927. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk. It's on DVD. It's called The Dark Secret. The talk on The Forbidden Secret, there's syllabuses with both of those talks. You need, of course, to get my talk on the world revolution, my interview with Ambassador Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the Cuban Revolution. You need to get our talk on the best enemies money could buy, basically, is my interview with Professor Sutton before he passed away. And, of course, the books to go with that would be Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, and Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, and the book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. We have so much information. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Get the information that's there. And then we ask you, of course, to tell others about our program, to encourage them to listen, to support Radio Liberty. We ask you, of course, to pray for Alex Jones, for Joyce Riley, for John Loeffler, for Congressman Ron Paul, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. So until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Let us all be grateful.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today. Today is February 15th, 2010. It is Wednesday. Thank you so very much for